Basically, we have three projects that we're working on in the Center of Excellence. And what we've elected to do is turn those projects into services that can be exposed to the grid so they can, we can collaborate with others who have access to the grid and others who are interested to with us. And the folks that we have mentioned here as co-authors of this presentation are both the researchers who developed the content for the services and those software engineers that have struggled through understanding the grid and have developed the grid services and the client that we use. So some of the introductory slides will be information that we had presented in the past. Let me make sure that these are in the right order. They seem like they're in the wrong order. But anyway, what we're going to present is three services that we've created, grid services. We've developed a client that can be used to access those services. And then all of those services used, you know, the Globus environment on the NICFI grid. And what's kind of neat about these services is they're examples of different things that are extremely important. Like, for instance, the synthetic medical records service is a data service. And we know that the grid can be a big grid node that can have access to a variety of different types of data. And as we walk through that, we can show you how this can be expanded into a lot bigger grid data service. The analytics service has the capability, it's a framework, put in many, many different types of processing functions and has the ability to use the grid as a computational resource. And the InfoShare data service basically has the ability to create a federation of health departments to share information. So this was the ones that were out of order. This really should have gone first. This shows, that's why it looked a little strange. But it's basically what I've described. And above, you have the community of users. They're also the resources that you have access to on the grid. So let me move a little bit. Go ahead. And this is the first service that's created. It's called Emerge. And it's a synthetic medical records data generation service. And we've talked about this earlier, so I'm not going to go into a lot of details other than there is reference material out there. And the folks who developed that, Anna Bruchek and Linda Moniz, are here to talk if people are interested. So what's nice about this is this service can go out and if it has other data available from HIEs or BioSense or realistic but not real, it can use that. And Wayne will give you a little demonstration of that. The next service is a decision support framework that has all these various analytic services potentially in it. We're highlighting a probabilistic reasoning Bayes belief net that Zarinath Zakian has worked on that uses electronic medical records to identify high levels of illness, and it currently doesn't go out and look at other resources on the grid, but that's a potential that it could have to do its computational. And so all of these services are expansive. So they're also research that says, you know, you can go forward and learn more and more about how to use these specific types of services, which are kind of slick. The last service is this information sharing service. It's built around a communication service that we've had in our Essence NCR, Maryland, D.C., Virginia, disease surveillance network, and it's expansion of that in a grid environment. And it's what we hope to be able to use to show how we can federate health departments in performing surveillance. So basically, I'm going to turn this over to Wayne, and he's going to try to do this all online and access these services. And
we'll give it a shot. All right, so when we start talking about the node, one of the questions someone asked before was how many different machines are on. We're going to be demoing something that's happening on a web server that's on a Windows box that has nothing to do with the grid, which is interacting with our grid node, which is a Linux machine, and it's interacting with a database, which is a Windows box sitting back behind there as well. So three totally different machines for the different services we're talking about here, which when we're talking about lessons learned, you know, integrating grid with Windows is not exactly fun and easy, but we were able to get it to work. So the web page we just brought up, again, this is back on the Hopkins campus, APL campus, when you first, I'll go ahead and refresh it. When you first load in and log in, okay, security, wonderful, hopefully. The first thing that occurred, which you don't even get a chance to see, is the scenario list, these three entries here. We've already connected to the grid. Those are pulled out of a data service. So the website is going out to the data service saying, what available scenarios are there? It's bringing that back. So we've already entered into a grid realm. The idea then is, for future work for this eMERGE service, is that users could sort of define how they want to build a synthetic data set, how they want to inject, and sort of what parameters they want it to go off and run. And if a scenario doesn't exist already in the system, it can go off, generate that scenario for you, and have it available. For this demo, we're going to, for time purposes, only use scenarios that we've already sort of had pre-built. So we select one of the scenarios, and now options start becoming available, like visualize and perform analysis. So this client went out to the grid service, the data service, pulled back information, and it pulled back two pieces of information. One was visits per day for scenario one, and then actually used Google APIs to build the graphing system itself too. So we're using services that have nothing to do with the grid, in addition to grid-related services, to go ahead and create a chart for the user. And then at the bottom, the second call is actually made to sort of figure out in that data set that was just queried for, what types of data are available. So you can see we've got lab orders, rat orders, different sorts of things. We can go ahead and click on one of those. It'll now make another call back out to the service, grid service, bring that information back and chart it again. So we can start envisioning real data, synthetic data, whatever, clients that can use grid services to pull this data and visualize it on their screen. So once you get a chance to visualize the data, and the other thing I guess I should mention is in this data set is an actual outbreak of tularemia. When you're looking at high level counts per day, either lab orders or synthetic, make sure it's synthetic. From the naked eye, when you're just looking at large counts, it's very difficult to see anything abnormal. But let's go ahead and start performing analysis to see if we can start finding such things. So Joe mentioned our analysis framework. Temporal analysis, we can envision running the CDC EARS algorithms or AP, or the essence-based systems for regression EWMA Poisson switches. You could then type in extra information like what alert thresholds or minimum counts do you want to adhere to it. Spatial-based things, again, the essence spatial detector or Kaldorf SAT scan a lot of folks use, being able to send information out to those. And so the two that we're going to demo here today are our fusion-based analysis, which is trying to do both patient-level severity and population-based influenza-like illness. So we'll start with the patient-based one. So clicking on this, it's going to take that data that we pulled from the data service and now actually send that information to a completely different service, which is the analytics service. Once it gets the results back from that analytics service, it's then charting it and plotting it on the screen. And again, two sets of information, the information that's on the top of the page and then the data below in the data table. So here what you're seeing is total severity counts by day, by age. And I think there's a 7-day smoothing to make the graphs look a little nicer. And notice that there's an increase in the 18 to 65-year-old range around here at the end of August. And then in the middle of September, the children start to actually have an increase. So even though the graphs that we looked at before, which looked very flat, hard to see anything abnormal, the severity indicators that are coming out of this fusion-based analysis can actually start to see rises that you couldn't really see before just by looking at raw counts. So we also give the users the ability to inspect the fusion model to understand why it decided what it did. So here, this is a little bit of an advanced showing of being able to drill down into that model and say, okay, well, severity was red on this particular day, why? Well, it thought that radiology was sort of abnormal, and that was due to a certain type of chest X-ray. ICD-9 was sort of yellow, laboratory was green. So you can start to go through as a user and figure out why did this pretty complicated analysis tool think that there was a problem, to get a better sort of feel if you trust it or not. All right, so that was one type of analysis. So let's go back to the analysis configuration side and go into influenza-like illness population-based. So what we were doing before was very patient-based, and now what we're going to do is population-based. Again, it's going to query your data set that we've already pulled from the data service and use an analysis service, GridNode. So we're walking all over the grid here. It comes back with two probability of influenza-like illness outbreaks. And notice what we saw sort of before. The first one was in adults. The second one was in children. We saw that with the patient-based severity indicators. It turns out the first spike on here is the tularemia outbreak that was injected in the synthetic data set. The second one was the naturally occurring flu in the data set. So same as before, you can click on an individual day, inspect the fusion model, and this particular one, looking for influenza, is going to show you that it's breaking down mostly on just the different age groups and figure out which age groups it thought was sort of abnormal for that particular day. Okay, so we looked at data service, we've looked at analysis service, so now let's move on to the information sharing service. So the information sharing service, like Joe talked about before, is based upon our event communication system, which is inside of every Essence. The theory is that you can share structured information a whole lot easier without the legal wranglings than you can raw low-level data. You know, if somebody wants to share data with you, get the lawyers, and we'll see in a year. But for the Super Bowl last year, it turns out that Chicago and Indianapolis played in the Super Bowl, and they played in Miami. All three are Essence sites. So on the Wednesday before the Super Bowl, with about an hour-long phone call, we were able to actually get them to agree to share their daily summary report information amongst the jurisdictions. So again, when you're sharing information, those things can happen quick. And they found a lot of value out of it during that time. So this is the system then that can help them do that. And adding it onto the grid node was just the next logical sort of step. So we've got the ability in the information sharing system to not only have user-entered concerns and events, but also automated concerns and events that analysis tools can produce and shove onto the information sharing service as well. So here's an example of one of those. There's tagged information, so you can see what its concern level was, what syndrome it was. Embedded in text itself is maybe some information about that specific detector. It's going to tell you what age groups, size of the events, counties, sex, geographic spreads, state, country, you know, all sorts of other, you know, structured information that then an analysis tool could use to pull out and do more interesting things with. We've had tools where they can figure out if my neighboring jurisdictions are alerting, then maybe I want to change my threshold for alerting it in a respiratory illness, let's say. So on the left-hand side, you can do filtering, my different things. So we'll go ahead and say in the example here is that a human then saw the automated analysis on the 17th and later that day submitted their own event. They started saying that they were seeing a large increase of patients reporting ILI symptoms, and then it has the ability for other users to start generating comments off that thread and say, you know, I'm seeing something too, but no, I'm not seeing anything over here. So you can start to get a situational awareness picture by seeing what your neighbors are concerned about or not concerned about. And then, of course, the following day, the scenario is that, you know, a CDC or some other user could say, come in and say, yeah, we've confirmed that this, you know, outbreak has started to occur. So you can get, again, a better picture of what's going on. We could go on into the last tab, which is the automated analysis tab. So here would just be an example of how a user could pick the detector that they're interested in, we'll say the population-based ILI. Say that they want to run that detector every so many hours, let's say six, and then they want to create an info share message either on alerts only or any result they ever get. We'll say alerts only. Then you could say, you know, what information do you have to attach with that message? You might, you know, need the name of the person and their email address. And then all the other fields then automatically get generated by the analysis tool itself. And you can create that process, and then from that point forward, anytime that analysis tool runs, it would generate the info share messages. So this is pretty much a demo client for different services that you could use on the grid. What?
Well, PCI
Oh, I can show you. Sure. There's a lot of different stuff. I didn't know how much time we sort of had, but you have the ability to create an event. We can go through that, walk through that. So we give you the ability to change different types. So if it's user-created, multivariate analysis, or univariate analysis-based. Oops, sorry. Select the right one. You can choose age groups or multiple age groups. Again, sex, the size of the events, we allow people to choose sort of generic categories. It's in the hundreds, it's in the thousands. If you know exact latitude and longitude of your event, you can put that in. If not, you're going to start to label things by the county or the zip code of the state. Whether or not the spread is localized or widespread, and we've seen in a couple of presentations, they also use sporadic. That sounds like a pretty good idea to throw in there. We'll do that in the future. Syndrome category, that's one of the things we tend to require. So if it's a respiratory event or what have you. Rank is another one of the fields that we require. So we originally, when we did this, we used the DHS low, elevated, high. That was fun. There was one state, I think it was Maryland, everything was high, and the other state, Virginia, everything was low, and they had no idea what those things meant. So we've converted it to be more action-oriented words, so that if you say you're monitoring a situation or investigating a situation or responding to a situation, you sort of have a much better idea what that means. So pick one of those. The date range that you're interested in, choose whatever date range it was, give it a title, and then text, and so this is a rich client editor. You can put smiley faces or whatever you really wanted in here. You can make it, I don't know, green. So it gives the users the ability to kind of make whatever size text they want. You then submit that or preview it. One of the other things we discovered was people had a tendency to leave a bunch of fields blank or accidentally click some stuff, so we started forcing them to preview things before they commit it, and then commit it into the system. And now, boom, there you go. A message was submitted through the grid, through the web client to the grid service, was entered into the backend database, was then brought back from the grid service to this client, and then shows up on the screen. And you'll see it's marked as unread, sort of very Outlook-esque. We tried to make this as simple as possible. The original implementations of this was very message board styled. So unfortunately, what we discovered was instead of people responding to comments that other events were already existing, everybody just made their own events. And so it turned out we decided to kind of rework the UI so that it was more Outlook, more email-based, and that seems to have gone over a whole lot better. So I think that's pretty much. Yeah, so future plans, that's a good idea. So future plans. No, that's good. So future plans, exactly. Plants are supposed to ask good questions. But so future plans, each of the individual research teams that are working on the different services, I'm sure have their own sort of hopes and dreams for what they want to do next. I know being able to take the data service and actually allow users to type in information about a scenario that they want to build on the fly and then have that actually built on the fly, now that they've done that once or twice by hand, that seems the next logical step there too. The analysis service, there's all sorts of different diseases and scenarios that they want to try and pinpoint, I'm sure, for different types of detection, things that they're interested in, and also be able to throw in, like I said, the temporals and the spatials and different things other folks are doing. From the info sharing side of the house, we want to start integrating this with existing surveillance systems that are there. We're going to start integrating it with Essence since we sort of control it. But since it's an open, structured grid service, anybody should be able to start using it. And hopefully we'll deploy a reference implementation of the client so that if you want to use our client, you can. But if you want to build your own and integrate it with the grid service, you can do that as well. Alright. Questions?
Yeah, just to take it one small step further. Do you actually have any plans? Because it's so close to email, it seems like the obvious thing might be just to have an Outlook plugin or something like that that will actually just,
So that's a good question. So we originally, when we had this in Essence, used a message board and just an actual message board. And one of the things that makes us sort of different than a ProMed or something is that we wanted to use very structuredized fields because we had an evil purpose for it, which was to have analysis tools be able to actually extract whatever things were on there and modify algorithms based upon that. If it was actually Outlook, you know, people are free text typing anything in there, and then you run into the medley problem where you've got to have a very sophisticated NLP tool to pull information out of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking something where you just have basically, instead of a new email, it's a new report, right? Because Outlook's very customizable.
Correct.
Yeah.
So be careful. You're volunteering yourself here. So, because this.
Well, actually, I do have a little bit of an actually interest myself. Just because there are other projects where something similar. I mean, it's kind of common. You're not alone.
Most definitely, yeah. The target audience for this, obviously, since we do a lot of stuff with Essence, was for syndromic surveillance users to talk about issues that they're having, sort of before it's confirmed. We notice that, you know. Once something's happened, it's in CNN, it's in ProMed, then you can start to figure those things out. But it'd be really nice to know about these things when the peak's just starting to go up and you're not really even sure what it is yet. So that's sort of what the target audience was for a lot of this. But yeah, no, be careful. You're volunteering yourself to hook up to the grid.
More questions?
Sure.
Situational awareness and the fact that you can look and see are there new outbreaks or cases that happen, but it doesn't really do any SAT scan or spatiotemporal cluster analysis.
But
what I thought is, could you have a service like you suggest, but not only does it push points to a map, but it actually runs a SAT scan cluster analysis and then also pushes those results to the map and shows you the most likely cluster, log likelihood ratios, and all that.
Excellent. You're thinking right where we are as well. So at the bottom of this page, you'll see what the client currently implements, being able to create, view, and edit messages. But at the bottom, you'll see GIS, graphing, auto message creation, subscription, notification, detection of not the data, but of the information that people are talking about. And that's exactly why we wanted to make sure we included structured information so that you could do exactly that, build those automated tools and run detection and modify your algorithms, or run algorithms against that information. Whereas if it was all free text, it would be a whole lot harder to do that, which, like you said, there's progress being made in some of those things, but if you can start at the beginning and make sure that the message is structured, you can save yourself a whole lot of work. No, good comment. So the person who created the fusion model is sitting right in front of you, Zara. I'm sure she's interested in extending it and doing a lot more different diseases and things with it. So, yep, sure. Yes, so we did use Introduce, and Nate could tell you the one golden rule of Introduce. It's a fabulous tool. Don't ever change anything you ever do after you've used Introduce once. It is not meant to tinker with the web service once it's been created in Introduce. And it's also heavily biased towards non-Maven projects and IDE that's Eclipse. And there's some things about it that are specific to what it is. But it's not a bad place to start with to get a feel on how to turn something into a grid-enabled web service. But yeah, they've got a little ways to go as far as once you've created that grid web service, and now I want to go to my environment and start changing stuff, you better not go back. It doesn't like that. Correct. That's sort of what we ended up having to do a lot of. You've got to start learning what it actually did generating those thousands of files for you. And because I changed X, I now have to go to that file Y and change a descriptor, because loading it all back into Introduce is not easy.
So in practice, Introduce makes an Eclipse project and a set of files. What we ended up doing is we used Introduce to create the skeleton we're happy with, and then go into that Eclipse project figure out, I need to change this schema file because I want to add something, and then I have to run this tool to redo stuff. So small parts of what Introduce did as one big step when we did it the first time, because it didn't handle editing very well.
Yeah, the other thing to mention was that this entire project was done with Groovy and Grails as opposed to Java for the most part. So, well, Java's under the hood for some parts and pieces of it, but a lot of Groovy and Grails, and then the front end's all EXT based. So, never even heard of Groovy and Grails. You've heard of Ruby on Rails. Groovy on Grails is like a Java equivalent, but it's a fabulous language. I would highly recommend it to anybody who's interested in picking something up.
Any other last questions? Yeah, I got a question.
Sure.
For your group worked on that. Where do you get your you're clearly coming at it from I'm a computer person perspective. Where do you get your public health inputs?
Sure. So there's a couple of different parts and pieces for that. One, we've got public health people on staff. That's helpful.
So Diane Matusik has a career with the Maryland Department of Health and Hygiene, going everywhere from starting with the GIS officer to being assistant secretary of health for a while. So she brings an awful lot to our
Throw in the fact that we've got folks, we've got two or three doctors on staff, we've got a meteorologist on staff, we've got engineers on staff, teams of computer science folks. So we've got a little bit of experience in a lot of different fields.
On staff, you mean at APL?
No, on the Essence team. Yeah, no. At APL, I don't even want to talk about what we have at APL, but on the Essence team itself, we've got each of those. So. And not to mention, I guess, that there's Essence itself is, you know, in so many places, and we tend to work pretty closely with the folks who have it.
Well, thank you all for coming, and thanks to our presenter.